From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is historian Richard Weikart, author of Darwinian Racism: How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and White Nationalism. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just a couple of thoughts as we kick off our broadcast for the rest of the week. The first thing that I want to point out is that our focus on evolution on this week's broadcast is intentional because it's had a dramatic impact on society. And that from the time it was popularized by Charles Darwin to this very present moment. What we ought to recognize about Darwin is that he was a racist and a sexist. He believed in inferior as well as superior races. And he also believed that man can attain to a higher eminence in whatever he takes up than can women. And yet, Charles Darwin remains a cultural icon of millions, multiplied millions of people. And his philosophy, his theology, if you will, has had a transcendent impact on our culture. I think this week's broadcasts are particularly relevant in light of what happened just a short while ago in Buffalo, New York. You may recall that an extremist murdered people due to the color of their skin. What politicians and media moguls are communicating about this tragic event is a very similar narrative. The narrative that the murderer in Buffalo is a white supremacist, and that white supremacy is the greatest danger facing the West today. And while there's truth in the narrative, it is the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. And to ascertain the depths of this pervasive dishonesty, all you have to do is actually read the murderer's purported manifesto. And when you do, you will discover that while he may be a white nationalist, he was also a devotee of mainstream evolutionary theory. He was someone willing to take Darwinian evolution to its logical conclusion, to help evolution along its sordid path. So what did Darwin believe? Well, here's what Darwin said. He said that at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. And by the way, in The Descent of Man, he made this explicit. He points out that the subtitle, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life, the subtitle of his most famous book, quite rightly applied to human races. And apart from eugenics, he opined, there is nothing to prevent the reckless, the vicious, the otherwise inferior members of society from increasing at a quicker rate than the better class of men. And when that happens, according to Darwin, the nation will retrograde. And that has occurred all too often, from his perspective, in the history of the world. As media pundits know full well, this was not just the firm conviction of Charles Darwin. Francis Galton, for example, the popularizer of eugenics, was deeply concerned about inferior people outproducing superior people. And so he contended that eugenics must of necessity be applied to humans as well as to horses. And so with the dawn of the 20th century, eugenics became standard fare in high school biology classes. Think George William Hunter's textbook, the famed textbook that was titled A Civic Biology. Most of us remember it as the infamous biology text at the center of the 1925 Scopes monkey trial. As a professed progenitor of progress, John Scopes used this very text to convince impressionable students that humanity has an evolutionary hierarchy, that if we follow the early history of man upon the earth, we find that at first he must have been little better than one of the lower animals. That, and these are Hunter's words, that at the present time there exist upon the earth five races or varieties of man. And he perceived the Caucasians to be on top and the Negro types originating in Africa on the very bottom. And then the text goes on to make a stirring case for the pseudoscience of eugenics. The text going so far as to say that the remedy for those not well born ought to be extermination. Why? Because if such people were lower animals, we'd probably kill them anyway to prevent them from spreading, which is precisely what the buffalo shooter was doing. He was following today's politically and socially correct scientific narrative to its logical conclusion. The narrative of blind evolutionary progress. For in order for evolution to actually succeed, it is as crucial that the unfit die as that the fittest survive. For if the unfit survived indefinitely, continued to infect the fit with their less fit genes, what would the result be? Well, the result would be that the fit genes would be corrupted and then evolution would be compromised. According to his own purported manifesto, this shooter in Buffalo, New York, was a thoroughgoing materialist, an evolutionist who believed that the physical facts fix all the facts. A man who believed that whites and blacks are separated by myriad years of evolution, and thus whites and blacks are different subspecies. It's also very enlightening for you and I to realize that this shooter based his worldview in large measure upon articles that emanated from the National Academy of Sciences, the New York Times, and from other mainstream purveyors of strident evolutionary views. That's not something you hear very often, but you're going to hear that this week on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And thankfully, we ought to mention that unlike the Buffalo, New York murderer, most evolutionists don't draw their scientific biases out to their logical conclusions. But there is no question that the scientific materialist has a very different view of humanity than those who embrace the Christian worldview, a worldview on which Western civilization was founded. And that is that we are, as the Declaration of Independence declares, to be a self-evident truth, that we are created equal, that all people are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, my point in saying all of this is that ideas have consequences, And that's something that we're going to be focused on all this week as we discuss Darwinian racism and how Darwinian racism influenced not only Hitler, not only made possible Nazi atrocities, but was also a seedbed for white nationalism. Again, the book that we're featuring all this week is a book that I think is must reading. It's the book by Dr. Weikart titled Darwinian Racism: How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and White Nationalism.
Inspired by arguments from both Charles Darwin and early Darwinist, the Nazis viewed the Nordic race as superior to other races and set about advancing human evolution by ridding the world of what they deemed inferior races and individuals. As historian Richard Weikart shows in his book Darwinian Racism, similar ideas circulate today among white nationalists and neo-Nazis who routinely use Darwinian theory in their propaganda to advance a racist agenda. The book Darwinian Racism is not only careful history, it's also a wake-up call. To receive your copy of Darwinian Racism: How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and White Nationalism by Dr. Richard Weikart, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're bringing you an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is historian Richard Weikart, author of Darwinian Racism, How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and White Nationalism. Let's now join Hank and Dr. Weikart in their conversation.
And welcome to another Hank Unplugged podcast. We are committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people directly to your earbuds, and today will be no exception. I've spent the last couple of weeks immersed in the writings of Dr. Richard Weikart. I'm going to introduce him in just a moment, but as prologue to this podcast, I want to mention that anyone who spent even a modicum of time looking at the progression of scientific speculation knows full well that academics are not impervious to groupthink. And that is particularly true when it comes to tenure, social dynamics, grants, and the like. But we would be hard-pressed to come up with a better example of herd mentality than the collective embrace of eugenics. The moniker eugenics, or what's known as the science of being well-born, was coined way back in 1865 by Sir Francis Galton. If you don't know about him, he was a prestigious polymath. He was a sociologist. He was a psychologist, an anthropologist. He was also cousin to Charles Darwin. And Darwin actually followed suit. In The Descent of Man, he made explicit that his notorious subtitle, The Preservation of Favored Races and the Struggle for Life, quite rightly applied to human races. Apart from eugenics, according to Darwin, there is nothing to prevent the reckless, the otherwise inferior members of society from increasing at a quicker rate than the better class of men. Well, groupthink, and that's the point I'm trying to make right here, is groupthink followed on the heels of Galton and Darwin. And so with the dawn of the 20th century, eugenics became standard fare in high school biology textbooks. I think off the top of my head right now of George William Hunter's textbook. We all know about it. It was titled A Civic Biology. And I, like most other Americans, remember it because it was the infamous biology text at the center of the 1925 Scopes monkey trial. And of course, this text made a stirring case for the pseudoscience of eugenics. And all of this has been breathlessly touted by the evolutionary establishment as evolvement. In reality, it represents a throwback to 19th century scientists who hypothesized that the gene pool was being corrupted by the less fit genes of inferior people. And we want to talk about all of that today because my guest is a historian who ably notes what happened in the last century. But he also has ably made parallels to what is happening in our century. My guest today is Dr. Richard Weikart. He's an emeritus professor of history at California State University, and he's a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He's an author. He's written many books, including From Darwin to Hitler, And one of my favorites, a book that I have to confess I'm only halfway through right now, it's titled The Death of Humanity. In addition to his many books, he has published articles in scholarly journals, including articles for our own flagship magazine, the Christian Research Journal. His most recent book is Darwinian Racism, How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and White Nationalism. It is great to have you on Hank Unplugged. I've listened to some of your interviews and find you to be a direct fit for our mission statement. You're interesting, you're informative, you're inspirational. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Well, let's start out with an obvious question, perhaps, and that is, looking at Darwinian Racism, your book, was Darwin a racist?
Yeah, there's actually not too much debate about this among historians who look at this issue, because Darwin clearly taught in The Descent of Man. He doesn't say much about humans, by the way, in The Origin of Species. And some people say, well, he didn't really talk about humans there. But, well, 12 years later, he published The Origin of Species in 1859. But in 1871, he published The Descent of Man, where he made very clear his views about race as well as other things. And he made very clear that he not only believed in the differences in the mental abilities and even moral capacities of different races, but perhaps even more strikingly, he believed that these races were in competition in the struggle for existence, and that because of that, some of the races that he considered superior, and of course he thought the Europeans were superior, were going to exterminate those who were considered inferior.
And so something has to be done about that, and that's why in the prologue they brought up the word eugenics, and I really want to focus on that for a few moments. Eugenics was not only something that was proliferating in Nazi Germany, but it was proliferating throughout the United States of America. I mean, you have some of the most prestigious minds, from presidents to, well, Margaret Sanger, who's the birth mother of Planned Parenthood, to Carnegie, to Rockefeller, to Stanford. You had all of these prestigious universities and people promoting eugenics. And it wasn't until the ghastly results of eugenics became apparent to all in the Nazi death camps that it quietly vanished into the night.
Yeah, exactly. Eugenics was considered scientific mainstream. There were courses on eugenics in American universities. Biology textbooks taught eugenics as really as a matter of course. And it was built upon Darwinian ideology, and Galton, you mentioned, was a cousin of Darwin, but we don't want to go into the guilt by association, but Galton himself said that he came across the idea of eugenics while reading The Origin of Species, his cousin's book. So it was very intimately connected with Darwinism, and if you look at the ideology of the eugenics proponents in the late 19th and early 20th century, they were claiming forthrightly that they were building their eugenics notions on Darwinism, because they thought that humans, by having institutions that helped the weak and the poor, had sort of contravened the Darwinian struggle for existence, and that this then was going to allow the weak and the sick to reproduce and to swamp, essentially, the good genes, so-called good genes, of the other people in society. And so they needed to find a way around that, which was eugenics. So eugenics was artificial selection. And by the way, one of the favorite tools of the eugenics movement in the early 20th century was compulsory sterilization. And Nazi Germany was not the first place to do that. Nazi Germany did do that. But the state of Indiana in the United States was the first jurisdiction to pass a compulsory sterilization law. And California passed one 2 years later, and many states in the United States passed them in the first half of the, in fact, over half the states in the U.S. had compulsory sterilization laws, which were intended to try to improve human heredity.
Yeah, it was back in 1907. Amazing that you have the state of Indiana passing the first compulsory sterilization law. And then, as you point out, a lot of other states followed suit. Your title, Darwinian Racism, How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and white nationalism. I want to get into all of that, but you've pointed out in other venues that this outrage of sterilization laws and eugenics was actually being preached in America in liberal Protestant denominations.
Yes. In fact, there's an entire book out by Christine Rosen, a scholar who's looked at that issue. It's called Preaching Eugenics. That's the title of her book. And in that book, she looks at the way that mostly Protestants were preaching, supporting eugenics, and it's overwhelmingly from the liberal Protestant side, which was sort of the mainline denominations in the early 20th century in America. So the liberal Protestants were trying to jump on the bandwagon of anything that was considered scientific at the time. So they embraced Darwinism, they embraced eugenics, they embraced scientific racism, the topic of my book, Darwinian Racism.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with historian Richard Weikart. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Darwinian Racism, How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and White Nationalism by Dr. Richard Weikart. Just call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. Once again, that's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.